Hey, friend! Welcome to Perspectives into Practice, a place where life's stories meet practical wisdom. Together, we'll explore how faith-filled perspectives can transform the way we live, love, and grow. So grab a seat, settle in, and join us on this journey to turn inspiration into action. Let's dive in. Hey, friend. Welcome back to Perspectives into Practice. Today's conversation is such a beautiful reminder that obedience isn't just about action, it's about transformation. Sometimes God calls us not to go faster or do more, but to slow down and be still with Him. And in that stillness, healing begins. I'm so excited to have my new friend Allison with us today. She's walked through some hard seasons and come out more grounded, joyful, and rooted in God's grace. Welcome, Allison. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, we're going to have fun. Speaking of fun, before we dive in, you guys know I love a good fun fact, and Allison's is a good one. So not only does she love to laugh, but she goes to bed listening to dry bar comedy. So whether it's dad jokes, puns, she loves them all. But I've never heard of dry bar comedy. So tell us, why dry bar comedy, and what is that like?
Sure. So I sometimes have a hard time going to sleep. So I've learned that I can't listen to music. I can't listen to a sermon or anything like that because I'm a note taker. And yeah. So I feel like I'm going to miss something. So my whole family, we love to laugh. So we were watching comedy all the time. I live here in Alabama and we're in SEC territory.
Yes.
And so every week we watch SEC shorts and we watch it several times because we love laughing. We love all the things. So we will just get on YouTube. We would just watch, like, just type in clean comedy. We're big believers in that what we put into our ears and our minds, we spit that out.
Yeah.
And so we were very conscious when we were raising our children. I have a boy and a girl. They're both adults, young adults now. Mm. So they've been raised in a home where foul language or bad language was just not our thing.
Yeah.
And so when we were looking at comedy, and again, we all love to laugh.
Yeah.
There just weren't a lot of, like, clean, fun comedy.
Yes.
And so there were people like Tim Hawkins and a couple of other people that you know, we've grown up on. Shonda Pierce, like, love them.
Yes.
So we just were, like, scrolling through YouTube one day and we came across dry bar comedy. It's a clean comedy. So they're based, it's actually a comedy club in Utah.
Yeah.
And so there's no alcohol that's in the dry bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all clean comedy. So it's like little ears can hear it. I'm obsessed with Leanne Morgan. I think she's a hoot. She's so Southern. It's so funny. Neighbor Gottsy. And again, they're both clean comedy as well. So I'm listening to their stuff all the time. So I'm like, oh yeah, I know this joke's coming up. So it's like, I go to sleep laughing.
Yes.
And I'm just joyous.
That's amazing. I love that. I do love a good dad joke or a pun, and I often make myself laugh. My husband says I'm not funny, but he laughs at me, and I put it in the calendar so that he can remember, and I can remind him that you laughed on this day at a joke.
That's
that
right, absolutely.
You know what's
You have to own them, you know? Like, I get told all the time, my kids will be like, but you're not a dad. I'm like, but that was funny. And they're like, no, mom.
Yes.
No, it wasn't.
Yes.
So, and then my husband's like, watch this. This is how you do a dad joke. And I'm like, whatever. Like, it was funny.
No, you don't have to be a dad to make dad jokes. I love it. Oh my goodness, I love this. So today we are exploring how God met you in the quiet, still moment. So I want to talk about what it looks like to find healing through surrender and trust. So can you take us back to a time when life started to feel different, when God was beginning to pull you into something deeper, and what He was showing you in that season?
Oh, Jessica, that's such a loaded question. I love that. So much of the story is that we have a podcast called Runner Story.
Yeah.
And that was a gift from above. As you know, it's really a calling. We make no money off of this. And it's
same,
but it really is something. Yeah. But it's something that you're like, I may not make, like, earthly things from it, but seeing what God has done in this has just been, and that, like, He entrusted us with it, like, just so surreal. Yeah. It's just been incredible. So we don't have a lot of beautiful days here in Alabama. It's usually like hot.
Yeah.
But it was just a day. I remember I was driving. My windows were actually down, which I love being outside. So yes. I was driving and I had some errands to run. So I pulled into this little shopping mall area. And I guess I had just been so full of like just being thankful and just like, well, this is such a beautiful day. Like the trees, like everything was just like picture perfect. And we don't have a lot of those days.
Yeah.
I didn't even have our radio on. I just was like in the quiet. Like yeah. I just wanted to embrace this beauty, being outside and you know, while I'm driving. And I pull into the shopping center and it was just like, bam, here's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And Jessica, I kind of was like, no. Right then and there, I was like bargaining with God. I was like, no. But when I tell you that the conviction was so heavy,
yeah.
and I knew the name of the podcast, I knew the mission, I knew the questions that we would ask.
Yeah.
And I was like, where is this coming from? Like, mm-hmm. this was not ever on my radar. I mean, I listen to podcasts here and there, but I mainly listen to music when I run.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even something that I was even like dabbling in. Yeah. I just was like, okay. So I am the dreamer of the family, or more like the wild child or the hippie, I guess.
Yeah.
My husband is the realist, you know? So I remember messaging him and I was like, great. I think that this is what I'm being called to do. I feel this. And I said, here's the name of the podcast. Here's the questions. Here's the mission. I said, it literally just came, like parked my car.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah.
And his response was, yes, when you get home, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
When I say that blew my mind, because again, he's a realist. He would be the person that was like, well, no, that's like, we're not going to, this is not for us. Like, what are you thinking? Like, that's a crazy idea. That's what I was hoping he would respond with, because that would be my okay, yeah, he put me in my place kind of thing. Like, he spoke truth.
Uh-huh.
My husband is such a godly, loves Jesus, loves people, and he's always been my voice of truth. So whenever I'm questioning something or I just don't understand, like, what God's doing, or he's my spiritual advisor. So, like, I go to him, and we can talk it out. He's such a great leader and mentor for me.
Yeah.
So I got home, and of course I got just anxious the entire time, because I was like, this is silly, like so silly.
Yeah.
And I feel like this was my Moses and Gideon moments, where I was like, okay, Lord, I feel like, yeah, it's a great idea, but I feel like this should go to someone else. Like, I'm not qualified. I didn't go to school for this. This is not what I want to do. This is not on my radar.
Yeah.
So fast forward, I get home, and my husband has already bought the domain for the website.
Of course.
He was like, he was like, it's a given. Background fun fact is that my husband is a computer science teacher and he builds websites on the side. So he was like, I can't believe that this name hasn't already been taken.
Yeah.
Like, yes, like done, bought it, we own it. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And I was like, you know what, let's just pray on this. Like, I was full on the you know, let's just be spiritual about it. Just pray on it. And we did. Like, I was very intentional with my prayers. And the more I prayed about it, the more the fire just, and it was not what I wanted.
Yeah.
I was really just hoping, okay, Lord, like, I'm being obedient in my prayer for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I will help someone else do this. I was totally down for that.
Yes.
I would even give them the website. Like, that was our thing. I was like, got it. One of our pastors at our church, he actually has a podcast. And so I met him at church one Sunday after, and I was like, Brad, I'm like, here's this idea, and this is what I feel like I'm being called to do. But I just, again, I was like, confirmation. And Brad, again, he's a guy that speaks truth. And so I was like, he's going to give it to me straight.
Yeah.
And he was like, I think it's a great idea. Go for it. Not what I wanted. So I was like, okay, I'm going to pray on this some more. And I'm very blessed that I have some very godly women in my life who are also runners. And so I would occasionally like tell them and just kind of like feel their feedback. And they were like, yes, we need this. This is a great idea.
Yeah.
I was like, y'all, no, this is a terrible idea. Like, no one's listening. No one's telling me no. And I think so many times I was trying to pray that the Lord would like close the door. Mm-hmm. And he just kept like, no, here we go. And it just, the fire just kept burning and burning. And we met with friends who helped us refine the questions and re-ask them, ask them a better way or whatever. And we had friends that were helping us with the logo. And it's just been absolutely incredible to see, like, the community come together about it. But it's been really cool to see believers share their stories, because so much of scripture talks about running. And so that correlates. And we go through such hard things when we're running. And I spend a lot of prayer time when I'm running. That's my time. That's my time that I can look like a crazy person and cry and worship and do all the things. And so running for me is very sacred in the sense that it's a true worship time. Or it's a time that I get to be with community. And the fact that people have shared some really hard stories, and it has made my faith just, it's just taken it to another level, because it's helped me to understand that I finally understand that God sees us about who we will be one day in heaven, in our new bodies and new surroundings and everything. And he doesn't see who we are now. Like, that's not how he sees us. And because I'm sitting across from people and they're telling me their very hard stories. And some of them have come from backgrounds of alcoholism or drug abuse or not feeling worthy or depression and all these things. And I don't know their story and I don't know where they've come from. I only know who they are as part of my community now. And so it makes me so much more grateful to know their story. And I think there's something very sacred about sharing your story. I think there's something very, that we've lost as a culture. That used to be something that everybody would get around and they would share stories. And we just don't do that anymore. I think it's making a comeback with podcasts. Which I think is beautiful. Like, I love that. So anytime anybody's like, I want to know your story, we're like, yes, let's go. Like, because that's how we carry one another's burdens. That's how we grow. And that's what I've seen from this. Again, every day I wake up and I go, okay, Lord, like, can I pass it now? Like, can I pass to someone else? Because I still feel so unqualified. But we've been very fortunate that we've had people come along and want to pour back into the podcast. They've just done an amazing job with it. They've taken it, again, further. And it's just helping people say, hey, you're part of this. Like, this doesn't belong to me. It belongs to our Heavenly Father and the community that he creates in it.
That is just beautiful. And you're right. Stories are, I mean, my whole ministry is about sharing stories, but it's hard because people want to share their story, but there's not a good place to share their story, or it's only people, you know, that have a ministry that, you know, have a platform that they can share their story, and anyone with breath in their lungs can share their story. And because we all have one, and it's so, it is so powerful that we do share, because it shows that you're not alone in what you're going through. There's someone else out there that has it, and you hear it and you're like, oh my goodness, that's exactly it. So in those early moments, what did obedience begin to look like for you?
So I have, I'm about to turn 40, and I have a huge, still, I have this huge fear of failure. And that's really one of the things that was holding me back, was that I didn't want to fail. I didn't want to fail my community, because they're just such amazing people. I didn't want to fail our Heavenly Father, because I was like, why are you giving this to me? I don't want to let you down. And so that was really like a struggle that I was having, because I guess a huge reason why I kept saying, okay, well, let's just keep praying. Let's just put it off. Let's just keep praying, is that fear of failure. I've lost friends over it, unfortunately. I kind of get into this little hole, and I'm like, oh, well, I failed. I saw them. They don't ever want to talk to me again. It's not that. Again, at the end of the day, what I do is I'm not saving lives. So it's really, the fear of failure is not even relevant. You know, and it's one of the things that I've learned in the running community, that have shared not only their stories, but sometimes with running, some days are a lot harder than others, whether it's physical or mental or whatever it is that's going on. And every runner that I know that I've ever talked to about failure has said, no, it's just a lesson that's been learned. Like, it's not failing because it's a lesson. There's something that you took from that. And that's one of the things that I think I've learned to be more obedient and saying yes. And I'm still trying to conquer that fear of fear. I even have a tattoo that says fearless as a reminder to be fearless in it, because if the Lord's calling you to it, there's a reason why. And it's beyond my understanding. I tell my husband all the time, but
again, I've seen the community come together in a way that I just, it's only God. Like, it's such a God thing. We had this moment where early on, it was pretty much like within the first month, my husband and I, we hadn't even, like, I was coming in from work, and I had had this thought, and it just made me cry the whole way home. And my husband met me at the door. We hadn't even talked about it. And that was, unfortunately, my sister-in-law, Jamie, my husband's sister at 26, passed away with leukemia. Mm. But one of the things that she would do when she met people is she would say, you know, she would introduce herself, and then she'd say, okay, tell me your story.
Yeah.
Tell me something about yourself. And I guess, and it's been quite a few years since her passing, and I think that that just kind of stuck with my husband and I. And so on the same day, we thought about it at the same exact time. This was part of also Jamie's legacy, that she wanted to know people and to know their story. So again, we just felt like that was like a, just a nugget of love from heaven, that our Heavenly Father cared so much about that. He gave us that moment. And so my husband met me at the door, and he was like, you know what I thought about? And I was like, go ahead. And he started telling me, and I started crying even more because I was like, me too. That's why I've been crying.
Yes.
And again, that's how we knew. I think any doubt that we may have had about, are we taking on too much, or is this such a crazy idea, that kind of solidified, this is from heaven above, and it should be stewarded as such.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we are obedient, we also have to remember that it's not about us.
That's right.
And that it's hard to do that because you think, well, my name's on it, my face is on it, I'm going to fail. But the Lord keeps keeps gently, preciously reminding us, girl, it ain't about you. Right?
Yes.
And then he just shows you those consistent reminders that this is for this person and this is for this person. And you're like, okay, I'm listening. Okay. You said that obedience became your path to healing. So can you share a moment when God affirmed your yes, maybe in a quiet way that reminded you that he was near?
I think it's been daily. Mm-hmm. I think it's been with every story that I've sat down with and I've heard. So my church allows me to interview in person, nice, people that are local. And then obviously we do some that are internet, online, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so there's been plenty of times where I've gotten into my car and I've just not cried, but wept because someone shared something so sacred, not with me, but with our community.
Yeah.
And that's just, wow. Like, to see healing that occurs. I had a really good friend who, I had no idea what his story was. And he pulled me aside after a race one day and he was like, hey, I just gotta let you know, that was very therapeutic for me. And I was like, whoa, buddy. Like, I had no idea. And I told him, I was like, man, I had no idea that was part of your story, but I appreciate it. Like, I understand how hard that was to know that people have gotten to use this podcast to share their stories with their community or to like help their mission. You know, we've had nonprofits on that are host events. And so we've gotten to have that. And my heart is in nonprofits. I love nonprofits and their missions. And so we have quite a few of them around here that I love and adore. So there's just been a lot of, I think, a lot of, it doesn't just happen once. It happens weekly. You know, like, I'll get off of an interview and I'm like, wow, like, I learned something. I heard something. I'm a lot better because of them, because of the people that I get to sit across from and hear their stories.
I love being out and about or people messaging us and they're like, wow, that was a really good story. Or what a lesson. Or, you know, it's not even just from the aspect of from a spiritual aspect, but that we, you know, we've had an 80 year old man who's broken records, who's been on, and people message and they're like, that's so inspiring. Like, that's what I want to do. Like, and I think it pushes us to do hard things because life is so hard physically. And that also the reminder is that, like, that's why we can't wait for heaven. Like, I love that song from Phil Wickham, Homesick for Heaven. Like, I'm ready. Like, I cannot wait to just run the streets of gold. Like, I think it's just those daily reminders of, like, when you are doing your calling, when you are living out your faith and you have no idea what that looks like, how those just sweet reminders of people coming up and telling you that, or, you know, encouraging you or speaking those words of truth into you. And you're just like, okay, like, this is why we do this. And I think that's a gift from obedience. I think that's the gift from above.
Yeah, absolutely. So what does trusting God look like for you now? Now that you're on the, yes, you've said yes, and now you're going into your fourth season and you're continuing to be obedient. What does it look like for you now, especially when sometimes his direction doesn't make sense?
Ooh, again, great question, Jessica. You know, one of the things that I've really learned is leaning on my community. You know, I think that it's so much true in scripture where it talks about like carrying one another's burdens, you know, being there for one another, edifying one another. And so with his trust, I know that one, as you said, and you said it perfectly, we're not alone. You know, when we share our stories, we're not alone on that. I'm not alone in this community. I'm not alone in whether this fails or not, or whether it succeeds or not. And I don't even know what either one of those looks like, you know? So it's all just trusting him and let, you know, if he says something, then it's like, okay, yes. Like I've learned that it comes with sacrifice and time. And, you know, my husband gives me a bill at the end of every season and lets me know how much I pay that I can't afford him. And I'm like, yes, buddy, I appreciate that. But again, it's that community. You know, he's poured into this podcast just like, you know, others. And I think that that's the beauty of it.
No.
Is just trusting in that moment and trusting whatever he has. Whatever our author has designed and has written, then the next chapter comes and I'm just going to trust him in that and say yes.
That is exactly it, is that obedience, the small steps that we take, the trusting in him, the humbling ourselves and saying, God, this is yours and you do you.
Absolutely.
You do what you need to do. And it's just so, so rewarding on the other side. And it, honestly, just knowing that you can't do this by yourself, and I'm on the same thing, I cannot do this by myself, is really humbling. And it really just knocks me down a peg when I ever think like, oh, well, this is not, no, it's not.
Absolutely not.
Try again. Try again. Oh my goodness. What would you say to someone who it was maybe in your position and the Lord has told them, hey, I would like you to be obedient in this thing, and they just do not feel qualified or know even what the next step is?
I would just say go to your community. You know, whether it's that somebody has done what you've done before, or that it's that they've experienced something similar, and maybe like if it's a ministry or song or a podcast or becoming a writer, like whatever it is, go and seek their advice, because again, there's so much value in community, and there's so much value in going to godly people that have been there before you, and you know that they have your best intentions and they want that for you.
Oh, Allison, this has been such a powerful conversation. I've loved hearing how God has met you in that stillness and reshaped your view of obedience and identity. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly just such a gift. So as we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with the last question I ask every single guest, and that is, what is one perspective that you would encourage listeners to apply today?
You know, one of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews, when it talks about the great cloud of witnesses.
Yes.
Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, and it talks about those that have gone before us. And again, that power of community. For me as a runner, that's something I do. It's not my identity. It's not who I am. You know, my identity is, it is there in Christ, and that is who I do things to glorify. And so whether I get to run tomorrow or today or not, it doesn't define who I am. But being in the running world, the running community, finish lines are amazing. Like, I just love a good finish line because your people are there. I'm very fortunate that my husband runs. My son, who's getting ready to go to boot camp, runs. And so we're a running family, and our daughter runs. So sometimes we have family around. We have a lot of friends. We have a huge running support. And I say all that to say, there is something when you're crossing the finish line that just always gets to me. I get emotional because I think about heaven, because I think about those are pillars of community that have gone before us. You know, one of my favorite women is Rahab, because talk about obedience, talk about somebody who had no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
Or Esther, or Joseph, or, you know, just Jonathan, you know, like. All the pillars of our community in faith, not even to mention Jesus himself, you know, but all the pillars that have gone through and have walked before us, and their stories just look different than ours. But as you said, everyone has a story. And so I think about
every time I cross the finish line, this is just a glimpse of heaven. This is the cloud of witnesses right now that have seen me cross this finish line. But there's going to be a better and bigger finish line when Jesus comes back. So I think that that's what I leave with, is you think about that, what we do now, what impact does it have on eternity? And that's, you know, do I think that somebody's going to listen to this podcast and go, oh, that's it, I'm becoming a Christian? I don't know, you know, but maybe they get some plugs into community. You know, I don't know what God's plan is with it. It's not for me to know. It's just for me to trust and be obedient.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, this has just been so wonderful. And friend, if you're listening and this episode has encouraged you, please follow the podcast and share it with someone who needs to hear that healing can begin with one faithful yes. Sometimes God teaches us through small, ordinary moments, maybe a word, a pause, or a change of heart. And those moments are what we love sharing here on Perspectives into Practice. So if you've been sensing God's presence in a new way, or want to reflect on something that He's teaching you right now, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to join us here at perspectivesintopractice.com. And remember, even small shifts in perspective can lead to big changes. Now go put those perspectives into practice. Talk to you next time.